Hello.
All right, let's get right into it.
I wanted to be the one to bring it in.
Go right ahead.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of American Hit Radio with your host, Heidi Morales Ryan, and always at my side, my faithful husband.
That's me, Tom Ryan. Boy, that was the most professional intro we've ever done. Both of us like jumping on the mic at the same time.
Oh, I know.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hour to everybody as well.
Happy
Hope you're all tuned
else?
In.
Happy what else?
And happy birthday to Heidi.
Thank you.
How about that?
I know. It's only just my birthday exactly today.
Yeah, it is. And you have like a birthday season. You don't even have a birthday. It's like a birth season for you usually.
Well, I mean, my mother was pregnant for 9 months.
Yes, that's right. So your birthday starts in March and it ends in November or something like that. And then everything else is Christmas and New Year's. But it is really the day. So it's only proper that you actually host today's show and that I sit back.
There you go. I just wanted to do the intro. You can have it back.
All right, then. Well, you know, last week we had looked at, for the first time in a long time, we had looked at 1979. And we started doing what we pretty much always did, what our original reason for existence was, which was to look at the hit singles of
singles,
a certain era.
Yes.
Getting into our show, after a number of years, we started to cover album tracks, and so it just made it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, we wanted to fatten it up.
Yeah, and what was the thing is, like when you're doing a show like ours, and you're doing these decade shows, 59, 69, 79, 89, etc., you know.
Yeah, the singles are good for the earlier decades, but when you get later on, it's more reflective of the culture to cover album tracks.
Which, right, and nothing was more telling of that than when it hit 79. Like, we've been ignoring 79 for a while. Like, it seems like for the entire year of 2009, every time we hit a new month, I'd start with 59. Then I'd go to 1969, and I'd be like, wow, look at all these albums. You know, and by the time we were done with 69, maybe we'd have a special show here or there. There
right.
was no room for 79.
Well,
and I'd keep looking at the list, and it didn't seem to matter anyway because it wasn't a lot happening.
Well, you know, even the classic rock stations back in the 70s started recognizing that albums were the way to go. And, I mean, where I grew up, the classic rock station would always have, on Saturday night, you'd have album hour. So that's telling
Very.
The culture.
Well, that's what explains what's going to be happening with us now for at least, I would say, the next three shows, if not four. I mean, after last week's singles show.
Are we going to start doing album hours?
Yeah. It'll definitely be the American Album Hour, you know, radio program, as opposed to hit radio program for a few weeks. When we did singles last week, we had to cover songs. I mean, we went back to 1979, the summer of 79. What was happening? Well, after going over the charts, we were playing songs like we had to play, you know, Village People and the Navy and Foreigner's Dirty White Boy. It was, you know, Charlie Daniels Band, The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
We were making people drive around without AC in their windows up.
That was one of the funniest calls. We got a very funny call. Somebody said, I don't want to change the station because I love your show, but you're making me drive around with the windows rolled up because I don't want anybody to think I'm listening to this stuff. Which cracked me up. It was really funny. But I said we'd be getting back into album tracks when we got back, meaning today. And boy, what a difference. The difference between the singles and albums is incredible. In fact, I know I've got so many. There's like 20 albums to cover that I know I need at least three shows to do it right. So let's dive right in. This is an album that left almost no mark at all, really, when it first came out. I think a lot of critics considered it to be, I don't know, unfocused. Maybe that's the wrong word. No hit material. It was Marvin Gaye's album in 1979. It was called Here, My Dear. It was literally a double album divorce. It was just laid out right in front of your face. Like I said, it didn't really have any hits, but the point of the album was that when it was decided that Marvin Gaye was going to get divorced from his wife, Anna Gordy, who was Berry Gordy Jr.'s sister at Motown
right.
Records, Marvin Gaye was sort of up against it. There was a lot of money on the other side of the fence that was able to basically come at him. So he really didn't have an awful lot that he could do except for, you know, give in to what demands
right,
were made.
Be appeasing.
So one of the demands was that he would have to give a very high percentage of royalties from his next album to Anna, plus a huge portion of the advance for the album. So his first idea is like, oh, you wait. Where do you see the, you know, the piece of junk I'm going to put out?
Right.
And then he thought about it. Says, "No, you know what? I have a better idea. I'm going to make it a great album, and I'm going to make it an album about what I'm going through." So it turns into a double album, and the entire album is like a confession of the deterioration of the divorce. Even with the art, I mean, the cover. I don't have it with me, but the cover has this. It's almost like a game board, and it shows like Marvin Gaye, it's called Judgment, and it shows Marvin Gaye with his hand reaching out as if it's like the hand, like the hand of God.
God, yeah.
But it's him, and he's passing a record album to a woman's hand.
Oh yeah.
And the record is called
like the ceiling on the Sistine Chapel where
yeah,
God's
but he's
reaching out.
To, yeah, but here he is passing her the album, and the album is called Here, My Dear.
Yes.
So the sarcasm is incredible, and it all starts to get pretty obvious as you listen to the tracks. I'll play one song from this album. It's called When Did You Stop Loving Me? When Did I Stop Loving You?
You know, when you say your marriage vows, they're supposed to be for real. I mean, if you think back about what you really said, you know, about honoring, loving, and obeying until death do us part, no. But it shouldn't be that way, it shouldn't be lies, because though it turns out to be lies, if you don't honor what you said, you've lied to God. The words should be changed. Now as I recall, we tried a million times again. Like mellow wine, pains of love
There's a lot of words in that song, aren't there?
Oh, a lot of scary words.
And it really does summarize the story of the album really well, fairly succinctly,
the
even though it's a 6-minute.
The story of divorce in general, I should imagine.
Yeah, a lot of the resentment and the emotional, you know, stuff that goes on it, and everybody who's grabbing getting what they can out of it. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really funny, too, because we got a call from a regular listener, John.
Mm-hmm.
Called us from Freeport and just said, happy birthday to Heidi, which is, you sound so happy. And then the first thing I do is I launch into this divorce song. It made me feel
Maybe
guilty.
He's trying to tell me something, John. But I'm so naive.
It really made me feel guilty. No, I'm sorry. No implications intended. That just made me feel stupid. But since John did call, it does remind me that maybe I could give out the phone number, 516-572-7440. If you want to call up and speak your mind as well. We're covering albums from exactly 30 years ago, the summer of 1979, what was hitting the charts and what it was like. And I guess one thing I'm going to try to cover more than anything in these next few shows is how incredibly diverse the music was, how many different things were going on. I'm going to start with the stuff that I would consider to be more like lingering from what styles that had existed
okay. And
begin to move toward a change. But I don't know. I'm probably going to jump around from that too. But next artist up is the Bee Gees. They had been obviously huge during the disco era.
The audience is shocked that you're going to play the Bee Gees now.
Well, they could be shocked about me playing them from 79, because by 1979, I was no longer a Bee Gees fan.
Oh, they're disco.
Yeah, once they turned disco, after the album Main Course, I began to drift away because they were suddenly a drastically different band than the one that I knew and loved as a kid. It's hard for me to even believe it's the same three guys. There's very little about those two styles that are in common. Like early Bee Gees versus the disco era, it's uncanny how much they changed. In a lot of ways, Spirits Having Flown summarizes that whole disco era. It was the culmination of it. It was their last super huge, gigantic album. It was the album, and yet also was the album that the first album to get them played on black radio stations. Which you'd think with all the disco stuff that would have happened sooner, but it really wasn't until this album that they were getting a lot of serious airplay on the R&B stations. And even though it had a ton of hits and everything else, it was an album that I guess by now you knew what to expect. It was like either you come around or you don't. I really didn't even at this point, I was like thinking, wow, that's so weird. But there's a lot of hits on this album, and the production is great. There's no doubt about it. The production is really good on this record. So it kind of makes me appreciate it a little bit more now. So from the album, Spirits Having Flown, here's one of the hits from that album entitled Tragedy.
Stand.
Wow. I got that falsetto still freaks me out.
It's incredible.
I mean, it's something. It came out of the left field when they started doing that from when I was, like, you know, listening to the band in
right.
the 60s.
That
just wasn't part of what they were doing. And then it just... It didn't really, instead of just not going away, it got crazier and crazier until the entire song
is. It became castrato.
Yeah, that's astounding. I was going to maybe play another track from that album, but I figure it's my time that will be best spent moving on to play a variety of different things. We're looking at music, album tracks, actually, sometimes hits. That came in that instance, obviously, that had come out 30 years ago. I call that an album track, really, because it's not a song that would have made it into my book as like a great single or a bad single. It was sort of like just a single, a representative single, maybe, of the times, which is why we're playing it now in the album track portion of the show. And I changed my mind. I want to go in the exact opposite direction. I don't want to do this in sort of like some sort of like a thematic thing. Uh-huh. I think it would be cooler if you basically show contradictions. Or styles.
Right, what was available at the time.
Exactly, you know, what sort of range there was. Now, the Bee Gees, if they represented the high end of production and the real high, you know, the far right as far as commercial music mm-hmm. goes, then there's the other side, the antithetical part of that, the antithesis, which is the far left, unproduced and very uncommercial. And the band that best represents that, I think, from 1979 is a band called The Fall.
Okay.
They released their debut album in the summer of 79. And this is a band that I probably didn't hear of them for about a year or later. And when I did, it took forever for me to even begin to even appreciate them. Now I love this band. I just think that this stuff has aged fabulously well. It just got better. With 30 years, you can hear this stuff now and you're like, wow, this band is kind of cool. But at the time, I don't know what you would be thinking. It's a weird thing to be listening to. Check this out. The name of the band is The Fall. The name of the album is Live at the Witch Trials. Excuse me. Here's a track from that album. It's called Rebellious Jukebox.
Toxic for Mr. Nelson.
is from the very first album by The Fall, a group run by Mark E. Smith. Still making records, I believe, 30 years later. And you know, and they got better and better. I mean, they just kept, they were always
a New
like,
York band?
No, very English.
Okay.
Very English. And from like a weird, I don't know, they had like very few fans in the beginning, but every now and then somebody like David Bowie would pop up and say, my favorite band right now is The Fall. And then a few people would get interested. If that, the album that we just played, Live at the Witch Trials, when it first came out, if it sold 1,000 copies, I would have been surprised. Because it was that sort of weird. But it hung around, and then they just began to get more and more popular in a very, very slow way. By 1989, he brought his wife into the band, and then they got some good players, and they started to sound a little bit more professional. And they eventually put out a greatest hits album called, like, you know, I think it was called 10,000 Fall Fans Can't Be Wrong or something.
Oh, yeah. I do like that album, I have to say.
There's a lot of greats. I would say if you don't know the band.
But some people might argue that.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's for everybody's taste, but if you're interested in something which is a little bit obtuse and different, check out The Fall. Very interesting. And this is from the summer of 79. So if you can imagine, if you're like a guy like me and you're sitting there trying to get past the commercial stuff, which like the Bee Gees track that we heard, and albums like The Fall are coming out.
Well, in 79, things were changing drastically.
Very much.
Yet again.
Yes.
In music.
Well, okay, the punk thing already hit. The smoke started to clear. And in America, it was like pretty much, America got post-punk more than it got punk.
And glam, you know? Right? We were glamming out with New York Dolls.
Way earlier. Yeah, the punk destroyed everything. That was like pretty, what happened was by 79 was you were left with New Wave. And a lot of the guys who came in like under the cloak of punk, even though they weren't, like guys like Elvis Costello, were suddenly left standing as New Wave artists. Right. And although I'm sure that he totally resented it, the third Elvis Costello album was called Armed Forces. It was credited to Elvis Costello in The Attractions. And the production and the organ sound and everything else just reeked of New Wave. And that also came out this very summer. So let's play a track from that album right now. From Armed Forces, Elvis Costello and The Attractions. Here's a track from that album entitled Green Shirt.
There's a smart young woman on a light blue screen who comes into my house. She takes all the red, yellow, orange, and green, and she turns them into black and white. But you tease, you flirt, and you shine all the buttons on your green shirt. You can please yourself, but somebody's gonna get it. Seconds over minutes. She's listening into the Venus line. She's picking out names. I hope none of them are mine. But you tease, you flirt, and you shine all the buttons on your green shirt. You can please yourself, but somebody's gonna get it. Never said it was a school pitcher. I never said it was a diplomat. Everybody is under suspicion, but you don't want to hear about that. Cause you tease, you flirt, and you shine all the buttons on your green shirt. You can please yourself, but somebody's gonna get it. Let us send the begging letter to the big investigation. We'll be right back.
All right. Elvis Costello and the Attractions. That's from the album Armed Forces. The song is Green Shirt. We're trying to cover the full variety and the breadth and the scope of what was happening in 1979. And you can hear it was already how it was weird. If you were like a DJ, this is like where playlists...
Oh, you wouldn't even know which way to turn.
Right. This is where the playlists for various stations really began to get torn in different directions. You'd have to choose where classic rock or where new contemporary rock. And that really didn't exist until 79.
Right.
It was like around this time where all of a sudden you'd have like things breaking off into different styles and different directions of what they considered to be contemporary music. So on one station, yeah, you'd hear the Bee Gees. On another station, you'd hear Elvis Costello. You'd never hear the Bee Gees. You know, and other stuff would be playing classic rock that wouldn't play either of those two artists. So it was a hard time. It was really difficult to like all of this stuff at the same time. For example, I distinctly remember around this time, the songs I've played so far would not have been played really on WNEW-FM, which was the rock classic rock station in New York City, although they weren't calling themselves classic rock. They were New York rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
But what they
before
were,
it was old.
Right, before it was old. What they were looking for were rock bands that were, you know, more or less in the tradition of what rock was in the 60s and the early 70s and how it was developing. And one of the bands that best represented what was happening there, a new band, was Cheap Trick. Now, in 79, they had one studio album. I find this pretty incredible. One studio album, and then they put out a live album, like their second record. So the first thing that's weird about that, it's live at Budokan.
Right.
Cheap Trick live at Budokan. And you're like, okay, you got your live album after one studio album. It redefined the band. It redefined classic rock because it was kind of perfect for them. From that album, Cheap Trick live at Budokan, here they are with Ain't That a Shame.
Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame.
I keep playing songs like that, it's going to feel like it's 1979. It kind of, I mean, this is a lot of stuff I haven't really heard much in the past 30 years.
I'm breaking out my flares.
Really? Wow. That's, of course, Cheap Trick from the Live at Budokan album, their version of Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame. It's come a long way, baby, from the 25 years between Fats's version and their version. But it really didn't change a whole lot from 79 until now, comparably anyway. Looking at music from the summer of 79, 30 years ago. By the way, I should also mention now, since this is as good a time as any, that A, if you want to call us, you can. 516-572-7440. The phone is
open.
Kind of off the hook today, but
and
open now.
Didn't someone say that the signal was fading in and out on the radio?
Yeah, somebody was saying they were having a little bit more difficulty hearing us. So if that's the case, let me also mention, if you'd like to check out our show with nice, clear reception at your own, in the comfort of your own home or your own, or wherever else you want to hear it, you can go to our website, check us out on the internet, and the show's available on demand.
That's where it's in high quality.
Yeah.
Right, baby.
It will be fixed within 3 weeks.
So this, okay, this is, it will be getting better. So there, our antenna is apparently a bit verklempt. So until then, if you want to check out the show and not worry about bad reception, you can go to our website. Go to AmericanHitRadio.com or AmericanHitNetwork.com. We post the shows there. You can just click on them and listen. And sometimes that's like the second posting point. So if you want to hear them immediately, you can check them out on our archive site where we post them almost immediately. Go to Shut Up and Listen.
Shut up. The
way Heidi says it is the way it's spelt.
I think Heidi puts like a Y or something in there.
Shut up. Oh, go ahead.
Weird.
Clarify it for us.
You're weird.
shaddupandlisten.com.
Right. It's the shaddup part you got to remember. You go there and you're going to see the show. Just click on it whenever you want it and you hear it. No static, no nothing, and it's all fine. And meanwhile, then we can move on. So I'm sure you're here to hear music, and especially if you're listening to it on the internet, you don't need me to be telling you about it. So what else happened in 79? Let's play more classic rock. I'm getting this feeling that I'm listening to like WNEW again, Dave Herman in the morning, what he would have been playing, or Scott Muni in the afternoon, perhaps, what was happening when I was listening to radio when I was 21. Music should have been, I don't know, that's like the golden age, isn't it, for a person 21 years old, the music you listen to? So the stuff that was happening then, I was developing
my
own opinions.
Maybe that's why I love Echo and the Bunnymen so much.
Well, I loved the alternative stuff that was happening around then. It was this classic rock stuff that I wasn't really so totally into, but I was in the minority in this case. Van Halen put out their second album called Van Halen 2. It was huge. There's a lot of people who are still Van Halen heads.
Oh, yeah.
I never really came around, to be honest.
There's like a
What's
macho
wrong with
man
you, brah?
Kind of.
I don't know. Classic rock.
It was like a party aspect to it that was sort of cheesy. That it could have been more respectable if it wasn't so like
goofy.
Van Halen.
Yeah.
If it wasn't so much about like mullets and parachute pants, it would have been better.
See, I don't have to say a word. I just let you two talk, and you can like basically do all the insulting for me. Diamond Dave didn't really help matters either, but it was their second album. Eddie Van Halen's obviously a great guitarist. I'm just going to shut up and play this, which I believe was the hit from the album Van Halen 2 called Dance the Night Away.
Across the room, yes, it's love.
If nothing else, if I could say something good about the song, it's a good summer song.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely one of those things you can see
coming out
of a car.
It does make you
want to
drink some margaritas. And
right, all that. So
crank up the hail and man.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, my heavy man is snorting on that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
you're allowed
to
snort at your birthday.
You want me to cut her mic? I'll cut her mic.
The thing is, by 79, I don't know, hard rock had kind of lost it for me. I didn't really – what Van Halen ended up leading to in terms of like bands like Poison and Faster Pussycat, that was just nasty, man. All that stuff was just really scary bad because like the Van Halen – the babies of Van Halen were just horrible. I can't stand that whole hair metal thing. So I kind of blame Van Halen for a lot of that.
And from that came – The Rock of Love.
Well, I mean,
the reality show.
Right.
Did you ever have were you ever part of that? Like having the long hair, going to cruise shows, you know, any of that?
No.
Because I mean, by 79, I began to get into the Clash, and that all of a sudden meant, okay, you know, no more heels, no more flares. I'm going to, you know, it's just jeans now and a work shirt when I go out, and we'll be fine with that, you know, to shows.
Automatically, that meant you had to turn in your flares and get stovepipe pants and a black leather jacket.
Right. Well, for me, the switch was more or less simple. I mean, I kind of missed the whole hard rock thing anyway. I was still listening to
Southern
rock. Oh. You know, up until like I graduated from high school in 76. I was in a band that played that stuff. So I'm listening to Lynyrd Skynyrd and
which is crazy.
And stuff
that's
like
just
that.
Crazy for a New York boy to be doing that.
And I was kind of searching for something.
You'd have been so redneck if you grew up in the South.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, by 77, 78, I was definitely trying to find something new. So when the punk thing hit, I was just primed. I was ready for it. I don't know. It's weird because it was such a drastic change. But I was happy to find something new to listen to. But meanwhile, there was a hard rock band that was making music in 79 that I totally loved. It's sort of a shame because their story was so weird. Of course, they had a lead singer that died, was eventually replaced with another lead singer. This is the before the death version of the band. AC/DC in 1979 released the album Highway to Hell. And I was going to play the title track because that's such a great song.
Yeah.
But because it's such a great album, I figured it'd be funny to go a little bit deeper and play a song which has got an amazingly, unbelievably ridiculous sexual innuendo. I just think it's more fun to play this anyway. So from the album Highway to Hell, here's AC/DC singing Beatin' Around the Bush. Telling me all those Late, great Bon Scott, who has taught us all that after a night of drinking, sleep on your side.
That's right. If you feel nauseous,
or on your
sleep.
Stomach.
No, yeah. Just don't sleep on your back.
Wow.
If you're drunk enough to remember that. If you're not drunk enough.
Right, which is obviously where this is a waste. This is the most wasted community announcement I could have ever come up with.
It's ridiculous. There goes your PSA.
There goes that PSA.
This is a message brought
shot
to you from
hell.
WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
Isn't that sweet?
Well, they do want us to do PSAs, so.
Oh, there you go. And say Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. So
yeah,
because
Tom Ryan is the voice of morality.
Well, poor Bond. I mean, I'm such a big fan. Now I am. I mean, at the time, I kind of missed it. Now I hear it, and I'm like, God, this band's hot. This is great rock and roll.
Isn't it amazing how so many bands found replacement singers that sound pretty much exactly like the original guy, like this band did?
Well, this was crazy what they... I mean, Bon Scott, they find him dead in his car, choked after vomiting, and... It could have killed the band, because how many people can really sound like that? That's not an easy thing
apparently
to do.
Apparently at least two.
And to not only sound like that, but to sound like that, but to sound like that with continuity. I mean, if you see AC/DC play live, the guy who replaced him was called Brian Johnson. And yes, he sounds exactly like Bon
and
Scott.
And didn't he look like him too?
Maybe a bit. But the thing that was, they found him in a couple, it took 2 months to find him. And their next album came out within 6 months of this album. Well, and it's called Back in Black, which was, the humor was there. It was irreverent, but still cool, because they knew what Bon Scott was about. And he would have totally dug the way that they were handling it, having songs like Hell's Bells mm-hmm. on there. And, of course, song Back in Black.
But I feel like anybody can really sound like that.
Like, not like, all hey, night long.
Anybody could do it.
No way.
I don't think you sound
no
like
it. Way.
So? No,
absolutely not. I mean,
you're
I'll tell you
Mark,
what.
Dude.
Come on.
Here's what I challenge you. Go to an AC/DC show, or even get a video of an AC/DC show, and listen to what that guy is doing. And by the third song, ask yourself if you would be like basically without a larynx. And then they go on and they do it for 2.5 hours. And it gets crazy. And there's all this physical stuff that he's doing at the same time.
Oh, he's running around. They are about the arena rock show with pyrotechnics and running up and down and jumping.
And now the guy's 50, he's still doing it.
That's right.
It's insane.
It is amazing.
It's impossible. If I was going to imitate him, and I've you get goofy. You start doing it, you go, wah!
Let's hear it.
You do it.
Well, he does it when he's imitating me, actually.
Hi, this is Heidi Morales.
Jeez.
I can't do
Thank
that
God
on
it's
the air.
It's uncanny.
Birthday.
I can't believe who is talking right now. I don't even know.
And you're listening to American Hit Radio.
That
sound
wow.
just like her, don't I?
Happy birthday, Heidi.
You do that for you do it for a song and your voice is shot.
Yeah.
You're dead. Anyway, let me not get this far off subject.
Oh, man, we've already got too far. We need to play a song.
Happy birthday, love. It is Heidi's birthday. She knows I do, so it's so funny.
Ongi bongi.
Yes, Heidi imitating me. It's my voice.
The caveman.
I'm not even going to go there. I'll do it off the air.
All right, 1979, summer of 79, album tracks that was happening. Paul McCartney, again, another classic rock guy. So let's figure what – at this point, I think that he was kind of like hitting a wall. He released an album called Back to the Egg, and it was sort of I guess I can't say at all what he was trying to achieve because you never know with Paul. He writes good pop songs, and this album had its fair share of them. But there was also a lot of just scattered stuff. And it was, you could tell that he was like sort of directionless, like trying to figure out which way he should be going by 1979. This was his last Wings album for a while. He became just Paul McCartney for a while after this. But in 1979, he did release this album, Back to the Egg. And here's one of the songs from that album, a song called Arrow Through Me. That's all the music that fits in 1 hour. But I hope you enjoyed listening to tracks from 30 years ago, the summer of 79. Got a few more shows full of even better albums, I promise, as we move on. We'll be doing the same thing next week. But before I sign off, especially want to give a shout out to Heidi for her happy birthday once again. We'll be doing this all over again anyway. Next week will be Heidi's birthday too, right?
Oh, yes, it will. We'll still be celebrating the birthday season.
No doubt. I'll owe you a dinner then as well, I'm sure.
That's right.
Well, I hope you can join us again on Friday and, of course, next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Take care, everybody. This is American Hit Radio. Stay tuned.